2.5 months, we've been driving up and down every road between here and Lakeland, and there's only three. But no more. And so we're glad to be here. Our family's here. We have friends here with us that helped us move. We got here, and now it's time for us to be a part of what God's going to do in Sunrise, Florida. Are you ready? I want to just take a moment, though, and just recognize all of our dads this morning. Now, I would never stand here and try to make it sound like everybody has it perfect or your family situation is all put together just right. But if you're a dad, I want you to stand up this morning. Hold on. Hold on. That's a cheesy little clap. You're going to, so they'll sit down. I want you to take a look around this room this morning at what I'm going to call some of the most forgotten men in America, our fathers. And I want you now to stand to your feet and give these guys a round of applause. Thank you, dads. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. We honor you. And this is the only good stuff you're going to get this week, so you better soak it in. And we thank you for all that you do. You can be seated. Moms, children, treat them good at least today, okay? Even if you have to fake it, treat them good. And I promise you, you'll be glad you did. A few things that are going on around here. First of all, I want to thank the crew, the team. I think they worked all night here last night. When I showed up, they were still putting stuff up from the yard sale. And, I mean, it was a big deal. And let me tell you why it was a big deal. It's because right now we're sitting at about sending 12 students to camp this summer. That's a good thing for us. And we're excited about that. The yard sale, Miss Yvette and her team and all the people that came around with all that stuff was to raise money to send those kids to camp. And since last Wednesday, we've raised enough money to sponsor 5 more kids to camp. Thank you. Now we still got to get them there. You know what I'm saying? And because we don't have that vehicle that holds that many kids with luggage. But we'll get it, right? We're going to get it. And I appreciate all your help and getting those kids up there. So we're looking forward to that. A few other things that are going on around here is Saturday, January the 23rd at 10 a.m. is a women's breakfast. And all ladies are invited to come out, and there's going to be a time of food, worship, June 23rd. What'd I say? Yeah, okay. At least I knew y'all were listening. I was beginning to wonder after a couple of months if anybody really listened to anything I said around here. But I'm glad you do. That is June the 23rd, 10 a.m. Darlene's soon coming, baby. It's also going to be a little baby shower there, so we want to invite you to that. Also, the men's breakfast and Bible study, please come out, men, for that June the 30th at 8:30. So, men, you'd want to be here for that. And finally, I want to tell you about water baptism. We're getting ready to have a water baptism service. We're going to have it right outside here on the patio, July the 1st in the second service. So if you want to be water baptized or whatever, you know someone, your family wants to be water baptized, we have a sign-up sheet at the information desk. And we're going to celebrate what God's doing in people's lives. Amen. Somebody asked me one time, how many times do I need to be water baptized? I said, well, how many times do you change? You know, how many times does God do something? You can be water baptized as many times as you want, really. It's not like going to get you in trouble. I mean, some people think water baptism is a one-time event. I've seen people baptized 5 or 6 times, you know. You ever met somebody in your life and in their Christian journey, they've kind of gone in and out and in and out, and, you know, who knows how long it takes for it to stick, right? So if you've been, my point in that is, if you want to be rebaptized, there's no harm in that. You're not going to be in trouble with God if you get baptized again, but we just want to make this opportunity open for everyone in the church, amen? I'm going to invite our ushers to come on down and get ready to take up our offering this morning. I'll pray. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've created and brought us to this place and just given us this opportunity to be here and continue to worship you. God, you've blessed us here at this church. And Lord, we know, the people of Life Point know that there's a new season, a new chapter in the life of this church. And God, we want to be blessed people, not blessed in this building, but we want to be a blessing to this community. God, we want to be a lighthouse for Broward County and this city of Sunrise. And God, I see the new thing that you're doing. And God, just take this offering today and bless this, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. We have a wonderful Father in heaven, and we glorify his name and we honor him. The Bible says to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be all the glory, the honor, the praise, the worship, and for the glory of the Lord, to God be the glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
It's good stuff. I will never sing a special here, just so you know. My wife said amen. That's not good. I want to just real fast before we get into today's message, I would like to just introduce you to someone since it's Father's Day. My father is here all the way from Alabama. He's been with us. So if you get a chance to shake his hand and welcome him this morning, do so after the service, please. And we're glad to be here. And this morning I want to start in Joshua chapter 4. I want to just read it first to you, starting in verse 4. Joshua 4, starting in verse 4, it says that, "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe." 12 tribes, 12 men. "And Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this might be a sign among you what when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you?'" What do these stones mean to you? This morning I want to encourage you, especially dads, especially men, especially women, single moms, wherever you fall, I want you to be encouraged by this word today. But in all honesty, I want to talk to the men and the fathers this morning. We live in a generation and a time that manhood looks different than what it used to look like. Manhood today is portrayed as something that's silly. Men are portrayed on the national television as dumb idiots. And women put them down. And generations that are raised in front of a television, if that's the only truth they have, then guess what they naturally do? That's what they think is reality. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know that we have a generation of people that doesn't look like what it did the last generation, and it sure doesn't look like what it did two generations ago? And I'm gonna make a statement, and I hope you understand what I'm gonna say, but part of the issue is not the kids from today. Part of the issue are the generations that were before us. We all have to take account for where we are. Are you with me this morning? I'm going to move back to Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to work through the life of Joshua this morning. And when I thought about a man, a father, a man that was leading a nation, when God called him, he called him to a great work. He called him to take the nation of Israel and to actually possess the land of Canaan. His job was to get the Israelites to the land of Canaan, to the promised land of God. And the interesting thing about it is when his forefathers came out, they had an experience with God. Moses brought the children through the Red Sea. That was their experience. This is the next generation of people. And dads, let me tell you something. Your children cannot get to God on what you've experienced. And there will come a time as parents, and I think dads are way better at this than moms, but not always, when we have to take our hands off of our children and let them experience life and experience what God can do for them. Just because you were filled with the Holy Spirit and you were raised in church and you came every Sunday does not mean that your kids are going to turn out all right. Who's with me? How many of you have kids? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, I've heard it preached before, and I've heard it said that, you know, if you do everything that's right, you're somehow guaranteed that your kids will turn out right. I don't believe that. But I do believe there are some promises from God, amen, that can protect your children in dark moments. How many of you have had children that have gone wayward for a while? Yeah, that's probably everybody who has a child. If they haven't gone wayward yet, just give them a while. They will, right? And I don't mean severely, but it just seems to happen. But you know what? I say this. If we will position ourselves right now, in the right place, we can help our kids experience God in a real way. The funny thing about this story in Joshua is you follow the children of Israel on into the Canaan land and to the promised land. The Bible actually records this. It says there was a generation raised up that had never heard of God or even knew he existed. And it wasn't far past this crossing of the Jordan we're going to talk about this morning. And let me tell you something. If they never heard of God and they didn't know that he ever existed, whose fault was that? Wasn't their fault. It was their parents' fault. So I want to encourage you this morning, and in this story you're going to see some pretty cool stuff that hopefully will help us, and hopefully will help us as fathers and men to rethink about things. And women too, moms, wives, be careful how you treat the man of God in your house now, okay? Be careful how you talk to your husband in front of your children. Boy, it's quiet now. Oh my goodness, I better move on real quick. I'm glad we took the offering already, because everybody be out of here. But I am going to encourage you today, and I want you, listen, my goal for you is to live the life God has for you. And I believe that you're going to see in the life of Joshua, we all come to these places in life that are tough crossing. That when he came to the Jordan River and it was time to cross, man, that's a spot that we all come to in life. It's a hard moment, and it can come at you in many different trials and many different ways. For some of you, it may be family life, it may be your business life, it may be your personal struggles, but you'll come to this crossing of the Jordan moment. Anybody ever been there before? Anybody standing on one side of the Jordan River this morning, I would ask. And you're wondering, God, how am I going to get all across this thing? How's this thing going to work out? In Joshua chapter 1, we're going to start in verse number 6. This is God. He's dealing with Joshua. Moses is gone. The next generation of Israelites, they're still on their way to the promised land. How many of you feel like you're still on your way to your promised land today? Well, let me encourage you and say this. Your promised land is still out there. The enemy would lie to you and say, you'll never make it. The enemy lied to the Israelites. The moment they came out of the Red Sea, he began to lie to them. Oh, just build this. Make this little thing. You know, they worship stuff. And all, you know what all those people went through. But you know, let me tell you something. God's promises are always what? Yes and amen. The problem with the church is we've only preached on the promise. We forgot to preach on the process. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. You don't come to church on Sunday and receive all the promises of God. You don't come to this altar and cry and get all crazy and jump and shake and flop around and think God's going to give you all of his promises. It's a lifelong journey. You will lose things along the way. Life will change along the way. People will come and go out of your life along the way, but God has a promised land for you. In Joshua chapter 1, this is as he begins to spell it out, we're going to start in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. I'll read through verse 9. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their forefathers to give them. Think about what he says. I said this land was for who? Their forefathers. Did their forefathers see it? No, they did not. No, they did not. Did God's promises go away? No, it did not. There was a generation that didn't enter in. And I say this for the church of today. I want to be part of a generation that enters into the promises of God. I believe it's still for his people. But I'm going to say this. The first two things he said, you better be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. For to this people, you shall divide the land which I swore to their forefathers to give them. Verse number 7. Listen to what he says. Only be what? That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper. Be strong and courageous that you may observe the law of Moses. Here we go. Who wants the promise of God? The forefathers wanted the promise. You want the promise. Sinners want the promise of God. Trust me, everybody wants to live in God's promise. I will assure you of that. But he said, be strong and courageous. And the first thing he says, be strong in, is the law of Moses. What was the law of Moses? It was 10 commandments. He said, you can do whatever you want, but if you're not going to be strong in the law of Moses, you probably won't make it into the land. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not what? All 10. He said, be strong in them. Be strong in them. Today's church, we don't have the law anymore. We don't have the same law anymore. Jesus fulfilled the law, but what did he say? This two I leave with you. One is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is this. Love thy... You want to live in God's promise? Be strong in loving your neighbor. Trust me on that one. I feel sorry for my new neighbors. I haven't even met them yet. I hope they have kids, because if they don't, they're going to have about 2 or 3. I'm going to give them a couple. I'm telling you what, I've seen people with all kind of tricks and gimmicks to make you believe you can have God's promises and try to get there themselves. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't love God and love people, you won't have anything from God. He said, be strong and courageous, understanding the law, that you do not swerve to the left or to, in other words, there's no getting aside from getting to where God wants you to be if you get apart from the law. And I think it's safe to say, I'll say it again, our law is summed up in two. Love God with all you got and love people the same way. Actually, he says love people the same way you love you. How many of you know people that love themselves? That's only people with mirrors. People love themselves. That's why he said, love thy neighbor as thy. Don't swerve to the left. This is only the second verse now. Here we go. Verse number 8. Actually, let me finish verse number 7. I'll hit it again. He said, that you may prosper wherever you go. That's a big statement right there. That you may prosper wherever you go. And it's always confused me and disappointed me when preachers have taught prosperity as cash money or financial gain. I was riding down the turnpike yesterday, loaded up with a truckload of, I called it junk. They called it our stuff, but whatever you want to call it. And I saw this guy on the side of the road. He had a flat tire. And I wasn't going to stop and help him this time. But I said to myself, and I just asked God a quick prayer. I said, Lord, please don't let me have a flat tire today, because it would not be a good day to have a flat tire. And you know what? I believe God prospered me yesterday because I made it here. And sometimes we look at prosperity as things we have or things we want to own, and that's not it at all. Do you understand that if you wake up this morning and you're not in an intensive care unit with tubes running out of you, you've prospered today? He said, whatever you do will prosper if you do not depart from that law. Verse 8, here he goes. He says, and this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And what did he say? If you want to have that stuff, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, what's coming out of your mouth? Is it the word of God? Do you have the ability, dads, listen to me, fathers, husbands, listen to me. Do you have the ability to lead your family by what's coming out of your mouth? How many of you have problems? One guy in here has problems. Everybody see me after church. I'm going to give y'all some problems. Everybody's got problems. I understand that. But here's what I want to challenge dads and fathers in today. Be careful how you address your family with your problems. If your kids know all your problems, you got a big mouth. I'm telling you right now. You need to keep it closed a little bit. Protect your children. They don't need to know all your business. They don't need to know how you treat your wife. Hello? Okay, I'm going to stop right there. He said, do not let this book depart from your mouth. In other words, what's coming out of our mouths, dads, fathers? Do we speak life? Do we speak faith? I'm talking to men and dads today that want to see prosperity in their family's life. And let me tell you something. You take a young woman or a young child today that comes, you know, one out of every three children in America do not live with their father. One out of three. That doesn't mean that two out of three live in successful homes. That just means one out of three doesn't have a dad. I think the statistic would be a whole lot less if we really looked even deeper into a home and say, how many young children that go to our schools today are edified, lifted up, and built up by the words that come out of their dad's mouth? I bet that number's a lot smaller. It don't matter. I'm telling you this morning, dads, fathers, be careful what comes out of your mouth. Be careful how you, how many of you need help there? I'm raising my hand for a reason, okay? I mean, I think we're all in the same boat here. We're humans. There's nobody that's any, the Bible says there's no temptation except that which is common to man. So we deal with this stuff. That's why we have a place like the church and the Word of God that we can deal with these issues. And today I would say, dads, be careful what comes out of your mouth in your home. You will have storms. You will have trials. You are the priest of the house. You speak faith. You speak life. Are you with me? The book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Who was here Wednesday night? We talked about this. The blessed man. What does the blessed man do? He meditates on the word of God day and night. This ain't for Sunday morning people here, okay? This is day and night I meditate on the... If I meditate on the Word of God day and night, probably what's going to come out of my mouth is the Word of God. Then. Everybody say then. You'll prosper. Then he will make your way prosperous. And then will you have good success. Speaking the word of God out of our mouths. Husbands, fathers, men, women, speak the word of God. Are you with me? This was God's plan. This was not just advice. This was God's instruction to Moses to get, to Joshua to get a nation of people to the promised land. Now, I don't have a nation of people that I'm trying to lead, but I do have six that live in my house. How many are you with me? I'd put my six up against any nation, plus the dog. I almost found some friends to keep the dog for me, but I know they wouldn't be my friend no more if I asked them to keep that dog. One of these days, y'all are going to see that dog. It might be on the news. It might be, I'll just better watch what comes out of my mouth this morning. He was leading a nation of people. God chose this man. And let me tell you something. How many dads are in this place again? Let me see your hands. God chose you. God chose you to lead your family into the promised land. It's your job. As a believer, God chose you as a priest of your home to lead your family into the promised land. How many of you have come to a few Jordans in your day leading your family to the promised land? A few Jordans, a few Red Seas. And let me tell you, for anybody who ever taught you that this thing would be easy, they lied to you. Let me tell you right now. And anybody who said you would always get it right if you just did a couple of little things, let me tell you something, they lied to you. Because you won't always get it right. But what we're going to see this morning, that with the help of God, and when we obey His instruction, that's key. We talked about it. Obeying His instruction. Do not let the book of law depart from you, and do not let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. That is key for us as dads and families to be victorious in getting our family to the promised land. It all revolves around the work of God, the plan of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God. You with me? We're going to skip all the way over to chapter 3. I'm going to take you on this journey across the Jordan. Verse number 5, chapter 3, verse number 5. Joshua said to the people, just so you know, God came to Joshua, gave him the instruction. Chapter 2, Joshua sent the spies out. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Joshua sent the spies out to see the land. He came to Jericho. There he met a prostitute named Rahab. Remember that? The spies, and she put the spies up. They came back with the report, said, the land looks favorable. We can take it. God already said they could have it, but they went to see it. Let me ask you this question. Think about this, dads, for a moment. What has God said you can have? See, this is where one of the areas we fall into trouble. When we don't read God's word, we don't even know what His promises are. And so some dads don't even know that God has something out there for them. They're just fighting this fight on themselves to see how hard I can work, how much time I can spend at my job to give my kids everything they ask for. And at the end of the day, it leaves them empty. That's the American way, just so you know. God has way more for us than hard work and money in a bank. Who knows that? Who's ready to receive that for their life? You know what I'm saying? So here he goes. Now they're back. Joshua's in front of the people, and here's what he says to them. He says, verse 5, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I even was talking to my wife about this verse, and I would ask you this question. Dads, let me ask dads this question. Have you ever sat your family down and said, consecrate yourself, get yourself ready before God, because He's fixing to do something huge in this family? You ever done it? In January, I had to sit in front of my family and say, get ready. God's fixing to do something big in our family. And they thought we were going on vacation. You know, they thought we were fixing to go somewhere. I said, well, that's a little different. It's like vacation, I guess. It's Florida. We're never coming back, though. But the thing is, I had to tell my family, get yourself ready, because God's fixing to do something in this family. And I had to tell them, I believed it wholeheartedly, but I said, and this is the place. This is the place God wants us to be. I believe that. I want my kids to believe that. Why? Because it's the truth. But it don't just happen. You don't just show up and everything fall into place. Amen? You got a promised place for your life. I would say this to you, dads, moms, when you talk to you, what is the promise for your life? Now, I know I'm talking to a diverse group today. Some of y'all just came through some hard things, and some of you will be through hard things next week. I get it. But let me tell you, just because you go through something hard does not mean God's promise is still not out there. And the enemy will take a trial and make you think, oh, it's over. I can't get it. We lost so-and-so. I'm too this. I'm too old. I'm too broke. I'm too ugly. That's people in the second service. I know. They're the only ones that think that. I'm too this, I'm too that. How many of you play that game with yourself now? Come on, be honest a minute. And you say, I can never. I'm going to tell you, that is a lie from the enemy. It's not in this book. And it starts by what comes out of our mouth. Consecrate yourself. Dads, if I were you, I would consecrate myself before the Lord. And I would have a meeting with my family sometime soon and say, y'all need to get ready. Because God's fixing to do something big in this family. God's fixing to do something different with us than He's ever done before. Get ready. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, verse 6. saying, take up the ark of the covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that and I was with Moses, the same way I will be with you. You shall command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord. Verse number 15, I'm going to skip down. And those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows in all of its banks during the time of harvest. And here's what I want you to catch out of all this. Joshua had the instruction. God told him how to act. He said, be strong and... he said it seven times in that chapter. Be strong and courageous. And dads, I want to encourage you this morning. Be strong and courageous. This is not about being strong to see which man can pick up the most weight or who can catch the biggest fish or who can hit a golf ball the first, all the lies we tell each other. That's not the kind of strength he's talking about. He's talking about the man who's strong enough to stand on the word of God, who's courageous enough to stand in the face of the enemy, to stand in the face of opposition and say, you know what, God's going to be faithful in our family no matter how bad it looks right now. That's what strong and courageous means for dads and fathers today in this generation. But what he did is Joshua did something that changes everything. And this is what will make you successful as a dad and a father and a husband or a single mom or whatever your situation looks like. Joshua told the priest, had the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, it represented God himself. It represented God himself. And this is what Joshua said. The priest, you take the Ark and you go first. In other words, God goes before you. And when any time you put God before you, whatever you follow after that, I'm telling you, you'll make it. The Bible says, and I read it, he says, the moment the man, the priest, the four priests that were carrying the ark, his toe dipped into the water is what it said. The moment that his toe dipped into the water, you can read this for yourself. The Bible doesn't say that it ceased flowing. That's not how it reads. The Bible actually says this, the waters were at flood stage. Who's got a river in your life right now that's at flood stage? Hello? Am I talking to anybody this morning who's got a river in your life and it's like overflowing and you don't even know if you can get across the thing? Let me tell you, the Bible says when they dipped their foot in, the water didn't stop flowing. The Bible says that it was dammed up so much they walked through on dry ground and didn't even feel mud or anything. And it even names the town that was flooded out behind it. The difference between these people and what Moses went through is when Moses came through the Red Sea, there was an enemy chasing them. These people didn't even have an enemy chasing them. They didn't have it as bad as their forefathers did. And the priest were standing there. The Bible says that Israel began to pass by. Begin to pass them by. Let me tell you something. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but that river in your life, if you would consecrate yourself before God and you would get into this word of God for a minute and quit talking all the negativity and letting all that junk spew out of our mouth that we do and say, you know what? God's going to go before us. God's going to go before me. And my family, you better get ready. Life Point Church, you better get ready, because what God's fixing to do here is going to be something. And at any moment, you think it's about me or my family, you've already missed it. You might as well go somewhere else. It's not about that at all, because what it is it's called, there's a God who goes before us that prepares a way for us. The Israelites begin to cross over the water. They begin to cross through the water. And I want you to pick back up in chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse number 4. Verse number 4, I read it earlier, but this is the part I want you to catch this morning. They get through the water and Joshua says, stop, hold on a minute. And dads, listen to me. Husbands, listen to me. We live in a human society, in a race that we're so driven on things and what we have and winning. I got a kid that has to win at eating dinner. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I got to eat and finish first so I can win. Till he realized the prize was washing dishes. This is what made Joshua a leader, a man of God that I want to stress to the men in this room today. As the nation was crossing the dry river that God parted, Joshua had enough sense. He said, stop just a moment. Let's stop this victory dance. Let's stop all this stuff that we have. Let's stop. We need to do something very important right now. I need 12 of you, one from each tribe, to go back to where the priest is standing. This is exactly how it reads. He said, go back to the middle of the Jordan River where the priests are standing, and you pick up 12 stones. And you bring them out here. And we're going to set up a memorial. The Bible says those stones are still sitting where they were placed to this day. I have no idea where that's at. I don't know what it looks like. Maybe one day I'll see it. But if I see it, whether or not, it don't matter. Because here's the thing. Dads, moms, wherever you're at today, you need to set up some stones in your life. We do not need a generation walking around in this nation that says, we don't know who God is. And we never heard of them. We don't know what you're talking about. And the only reason that generation did that is because the generation before them didn't tell them who he was. He said, the reason why I want you to put these stones there is because somebody's going to walk by this place one day and say, what do these stones mean? That's what he said. That's when we can tell them. That's when we can tell them. Do you have stones in your life? In 2006, God called me and my wife to Lakeland, Florida. We were there and it was one of those moves where we were working in the ministry before we got there, and God was taking care of us. Let me just leave it at that. We didn't have a lot of extra stuff. We had everything we needed. Let me make it real clear. Don't feel bad for me. It's not like that. But we did have $95 to our name, $100 to our name, excuse me. My wife remembers better than I do. And we had an apartment with little to no furniture in it. But I knew, you know, we were just going to go on the journey. How many of you have been there before? You know God's got you. We were looking through the newspaper back then. And the classifieds, and we found someone selling a kitchen table. And we called them, and we drove over to their house, and they wanted $95 for the table. I had $100. I said, good, I'll get me some bologna and eat it on that table when it's over. Does anybody know what bologna is? Just checking. Might be having it today for Father's Day, for all I know. It's all good. And we went there, and we went to this family's house, and they had this table sitting in there, and we could barely fit it in my car. And we told them, you know, we were here. We came to Bible college here, and God called us here, and that's all we knew. And we began to pull out of their driveway real quick. I'll tell you, we began to pull out of the driveway. The lady, she came running out of the door, swinging her hands, stop, stop. I told my wife, I said, what'd you steal out of that woman's house? The woman was hollering, and we stopped, and she said, hold on just a minute. I gave her $95. Gave her $100. Excuse me. When I paid her the $100, she gave me $5 back, change. I got $5. She came running out the door, and she said, hold on just a minute. She said, I don't want you to pay for this table. I want to give you the money back. But she gave me a $100 bill. So now I got $105 and the table. See, what that table was not just something stupid, but that was a stone in mine and my wife's life. A pile of stones that said, you know what? There's going to be days that are going to come in the ministry and in our life, and it don't matter what, it is not about ministry. Let me rephrase that. There are going to come times in your life where you're going to come to a river and you're going to have to look back and say, remember when God did that? I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I want to encourage you. In just a moment, I'm going to invite all of the men, the dads, the fathers, single men, whatever your thing is, I'm going to invite you to come up here. And matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and do it now. I want to invite all the men just to come forward for just a moment. I'm not going to do something crazy or make you sing with a tambourine or anything like that. But seeing how it's Father's Day and we're at a place to encourage men, I want to speak life over the men this morning and say, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your family. That here's what I would do if I were you real quick. This is the only thing I'm going to challenge men to do this morning is you stop what you're doing and you build a memorial. And say, this is the place. You may not show anybody for a month or a week or a year. I don't know. You may show them today at lunch for all I know. When that person comes by and they say, what does that mean right there? And man, I don't know what that memorial looks like. If you go out there and stack 12 stones in your front yard, the homeowners association will probably send you a bill. You tell them. Maybe it's in the way you worship. Maybe it's, I've seen it come out in worship. Some people say, why do you got to scream and dance and holler and act so crazy? Because one time, I was standing on the side of a river, and it was overflowing, and I thought I was going to die, and I didn't know if we were even going to make it, but God made a way, and I never forgot it, and I don't want you to forget it. We live in a place called something. Coral Springs. We brought our family down here, and I want my kids to see everything God's doing, because I'm going to tell you what, this is another stone place for us. Life Point Church is another place where they said, you know, I don't know if I really want to go. Leave my friend. I said, I don't even want to hear all that, because I'm going to tell you something. This is another set of stones in our life where God showed up in the Morrow family and said, if I did it then, I'll do it again. And I'm no different than anybody else in this room. Men, I challenge you today. My challenge for fathers today is this. Build you some stones. Build you some stones. Build you some stones in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray over the men in this place today, the fathers, the sons, the men, the women, the families that are represented in this place, God.
Bless them.
That they would be strong and courageous. That we would be a people, God, in this nation, that we would set up stones that when people walk by us and see something, they would say, what does that mean? Why don't you do, what does that mean right there? Oh, let me tell you, friend, that's the place where God showed up in my life. And I want to tell you about it. God, we honor these men this morning. We recognize them as men of character. Men of God, strong and courageous. I thank you for them. Lord, we honor them today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning.
Let's sing this song again. As we process the word of God that has just been spoken in our hearts. And let us remember as we leave this place today to be not only hearers, but doers of his word. Thank you, Father, for the word that has been spoken.
worship your Savior this morning.
Yeah. The atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh. The evidence is all around. That the Spirit
we honor you and thank you for this day, this service, your Holy Spirit, the Word of God changed us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you walk out today. Dads, we have a small gift for you. And I would encourage you, it's a little keychain. Put it on your keys, and every time you see it, you think about Joshua. God led him. God brought him through. And he began to place stones in that place as a memorial. Just a little token for you to remember this service today and dads. And also right there in our fellowship area, John and the team are selling lunches back there for their missions project to finish buying up all the chairs for the school program. We've been